Welcome back at WNST, Towson Baltimore and Baltimore Positive. We are positively into a division week game here. But before we get to the Bengals, we need to continue to discuss the San Diego Chargers. First off, big apologies to anyone that was expecting to make it out to the Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by the Maryland Lottery. Let yourself play. We apologize for Friday and Knicks. We're going to try to get there this week. I'm having some back issues. If you're following along out on Facebook or Twitter or LinkedIn, you know my son stopped at the Chaucer and brought me some delicious wings and some crab soup on Sunday night after the game. Thank you to Brian Eater and all of our friends. Thanks to all of our sponsors. Leonard Raskin, who was allegedly joining us on Friday, will now join us this week from Raskin Global. So I appreciate everybody's patience as I try to get my back together. This guy's been holding me together for a long time. Luke Jones joins us now to discuss. We talked a lot about the defense already, Luke, and if you missed that, you can find that at Baltimore Positive. The Lamar Jackson show, at least for 1 week, takes somewhat of a backseat in a incredible victory where you look at the offense, you say, who did what? Who was great on Sunday? Well, you start with the defense, and then you work your way through the rest of this. The offense was certainly good enough. Sans one awful interception that Lamar threw, it was a pretty decent day for the offense in a day where it wasn't a sledgehammer kind of day, but it was more reminiscent of what we saw 2 years ago.
Yeah. I mean, I think it was a sledgehammer, but not how we've been seeing it through the air and Lamar making these unbelievable throws and throwing for 400 yards. It was much more in line with what we saw 2 years ago. I mean, let's start with the fact that they started fast, scored on their opening drive for the first time this season. Really nice opening drive where, finishes with Latavius Murray. And as much as I don't even want to say picked on the running backs. I mean, look, there was a reason all of these guys were available when they were, and the Ravens certainly did not have plans to have Latavius Murray, Le'Veon Bell, and Devontae Freeman be their running backs. But this is where they are when you lose J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards and Justice Hill to season-ending injuries. But they all did a really nice job on Sunday. But I'd be remiss. You mentioned the bad interception, the bad throw from Lamar Jackson. His other interception was not his fault. It was the one blemish on a really nice, good debut for Rashad Bateman, who we've been waiting since August to see back. I mean, we know he had the groin injury and subsequent surgery in mid-August, but it's your first round pick.
This is better than Perryman.
sure. He didn't miss his entire rookie season, so he's already ahead of the game in that way. But I mean, this is a kid, and we talked about it back in May and June. We talked about it in July and early August. He's shown good things, and there were a lot of people, as much as the focus was on the top three wide receivers that went early in the first round, there were a lot of people that really liked Rashad Bateman, and he was nothing but productive at the University of Minnesota. And he's got size, good route running ability, really good hands. And I mean, he made four catches on Sunday. They all went for first downs. You like that. You don't like the ball going off his hands and an interception, but that is going to happen. You hope not a whole lot with him, but that's going to happen over the course of a season when you put the ball in the air. Sometimes it's going to bounce to the wrong guy in the same way that sometimes it'll bounce to the right guy. But that was good to see. And again, if we're kind of checking those boxes, we talked about this with the defense, putting together that kind of a performance in terms of thinking about the big picture and what it could mean when they go and face other good to great offenses later in the season and what that could mean in January. But, you lose Sammy Watkins on Monday night, and, let's call a spade a spade. I don't think any of us were expecting Sammy Watkins to play all 17 games. So he goes out, and you hope to get him back probably after the bye week, with one game here left until they have their bye. You think you want to rest him with the hamstring and get him 100%. But in the meantime, it gives you an opportunity to continue to look at guys like Devin Duvernay and James Prochet, who have done nice things, but you finally get your first round pick into the mix. And as much as we've seen Marquise Brown do fantastic things this year, as much as we've seen Mark Andrews once again be one of the best tight ends in the league, you add a first round pick to the mix with size and smooth route running ability and playmaking ability. Look, we have to see what this kid can do. Lamar Jackson even said that when asked about him this past week, where he said, hey, looks good in practice, but that's not the same as playing in the game. Well, he got a chance to play in the game and he did good things, a bad thing mixed in there. But I think overall you have to be excited about that. So know, it's another feather to add to the cap in terms of the big picture and this team's ability to grow and get better and to see how high that ceiling is. You know, Rashad Bateman certainly factors into that equation. And if you want that passing game that's been so surprising and so good to continue to be really good, I think he's going to be a big part of that. I'm not saying he'll catch. You know, I'm not saying he's going to be a 100-yard receiver every week or anything crazy like that, but I think he can be a big part of what they do. So really nice to see him get his feet wet. Keep in mind, he missed most of training camp, didn't play in a preseason game. So for him to do what he did in his NFL game debut, regular season or preseason, it was nice to see. You know, the drop leading to the interception aside, when, let's face it, the game had long been decided by the time that occurred.
If it's going to happen, let it happen in a 28-point game right in the fourth quarter when it doesn't matter. Luke Jones is here. He is Baltimore. Luke, he's going to be out in Owings Mills all week long. All of our Ravens coverage brought to you by our friends at Royal Farms. Real fresh, real fast. And we did not need 66 yards from Justin Tucker or Haloti Ngata showing up and eating fried chicken to make the effort good. Look, we talk so much about the March, April, May version of this team and what it was supposed to be, right? Whether it was supposed to be Bateman, we're going to draft him. Sort of forgotten about Duvernay and some of the other guys. The offensive line was going to be Zeitler and Villanueva, the veterans on the right side. We're going to get our $150 million first rounder back at left tackle. We got this kid from Ohio State in the backfield thing. We talked about that April, May, June, July. Then August came, we're like, oh, hold on. Won't be exactly like that. Ronnie Stanley's coming back when, and Nick Boyle's coming back when, and who's missing, and who's going to get mixed in here, and then the wide receiver goes down the first day of training camp or whatever it was, and then you get into the middle of the year, you wake up, you're like, ah, fresh air, we're 5-1, just beat the pants off of a California team that was 4-1 coming in here, doing it without the kid from Ohio State, without the veteran wide receiver we signed, without all sorts of pieces in the offense, including Ronnie Stanley and people moving around. Every time I see Villanueva line up on the left side, first off, he's a big guy, didn't really notice how big he was until I saw him in the huddle next to Lamar Jackson for a minute, but I'm also thinking, this is still sort of the B unit, you know what I mean, versus what they wanted this to be. There's a little bit of the B squad out there running around, but most of the league is that way at this point. When you look up and Russell Wilson's not playing for Seattle against the Steelers on Sunday night, down the list for what injuries will do to a team. But as this thing's been pulled together, for all of that sky is falling, when Dobbins went down in DC, when I was eating that crab cake out in Frederick on the tour, feels like a minute ago, but it was 7 weeks ago now. It's amazing with 5-1 and this kind of prosperity that it doesn't have to be perfect. It doesn't have to be everything, all systems go, firing on all cylinders to win big football games in the middle of the season.
Well, and it really speaks to, as much as it's cliche and you almost roll your eyes when you hear it, it really is a collaborative effort because, yeah, they haven't gotten J.K. Dobbins-like rushing ability or Gus Edwards-like rushing ability from these older backs. They haven't, you know, Alejandro Villanueva hasn't been 2019 Ronnie Stanley. Patrick McCary has done a great job at right tackle relative to what the expectations were going to be. But you kind of go through it, and one, it's a reminder, like you said, your best laid plans are not going to work out perfectly in a sport like professional football. I mean, there's too much attrition with injuries and too much unknown. And I mean, there's just so many moving parts on every given play, every given week. That there are going to be things that sneak up on you. And sometimes it's going to be guys that underperform, as we've talked about with Patrick Queen and Malik Harrison. Sometimes it's going to be some veteran additions who really come in and kind of save your bacon, so to speak. And we talked about that a lot with Josh Bynes and LJ Fort 2 years ago when four games into the season, their defense was in a lot of trouble and suddenly it stabilized. And sometimes, as you mentioned, I mean, Devin Duvernay, he didn't put up big numbers, but we see what he does in the return game. And we saw him get a chance, on a little bit of a jet sweep. And
he's looking like a good draft pick at this point, you know?
Sure, right? Sure.
I mean, better than Malik Harrison looks at that level of a draft pick, right?
Sure, sure. I mean, and again, you're never going to bat 1,000 in that way. And that's why it's important to have depth. That's why it's important to have a combination of veterans and young players and lottery tickets and guys that are reclamation projects. I mean, you need all of that. As funny as, we've kind of said, if you have Lamar Jackson, you have a chance, which is absolutely true. And Lamar's the biggest variable of all of these by a wide margin. But you know, we've talked about some of the adjustments they've had to make. And you know, a big part of that, we talked about when Dobbins went down, we said, yeah, this passing game is probably going to have to be better than it was a year ago, which we knew already, but it kind of brought that to the forefront, knowing that you know, you can't expect Devontae Freeman or Latavius Murray or Le'Veon Bell or even Tyson Williams for that matter. You're not anticipating any of those guys being J.K. Dobbins, a healthy J.K. Dobbins. So you adjust and you reimagine your football team, and that happens every year. You know, there are things that end up not going nearly as well when you might think it's a strength back in March and April. And then there are other things that you think are going to be a problem or going to be, you know, you're a little iffy, and then that ends up being a big strength for you. But that's what makes it fun. Yeah, I mean, if it all played out on paper the way you expect it to, then yeah, the Ravens would probably be 2-4 right now, because they would have just turtled after all these injuries, right? I mean, you're not supposed to overcome all of that. And let's be clear, they're going to face some more adversity. 5-1 does not mean that they're going 16-1. I don't think, anyway.
There will be more interceptions. There will be more fumbles. There will be more injuries. There will be more fourth downs not converted.
But when you can win football games in different ways, whether it's coming back from three scores down when your quarterback throws for 400 yards, as they did against Indianapolis, whether it's your kicker, maybe not a 66-yard field goal, but a big special teams play. You need that. And as we mentioned on Sunday, your defense putting together a tremendous effort against a high-powered offensive attack. You know, you see that, and John Harbaugh talked about this, and he was asked in the sense, you know, I think the context of the question was talking about the running game and what they did, and they ran for 187 yards, looked much better than it had looked since week two. But you know, he made the point that you want to win a game. You know, you try to identify the best way you can go about trying to win a football game. And we've talked about it a lot with how Indianapolis, the defense played them, how Denver tried to play them, how Detroit tried to play them in terms of really trying to take away the run. So you can either have such a special running game like they did 2 years ago where it didn't matter. You know, you could talk about this whole idea of beating your head against a brick wall. That 2019 running game was so incredibly special and historic. It didn't matter. You could put 11 guys in the box and you're going
to
run.
So much of that to me was down in distance. And, you know, Archuleta talked about it a lot. I got to watch the game on television.
Right.
I know that. And the notion that you're in second and three. And Archuleta said, you got to get him in tough third down situations. And I'm thinking, man, you better get him in a tough second down situation. First down's the key. I mean, they kill you on first down, and then they kill you all day when you can't stop it.
Right. But the point is, and you're completely right about that. And that's important every single week, whether you're throwing or running. You know, the best, I joke, the best third down offenses are the ones that stay out of third down entirely. And that's something that when the Chiefs have been at their best, or when the Patriots are at their best with Tom Brady, they did that. You know, they're picking up first downs on first and second down, and you rarely get to third down, or you don't get to third down as often, I should say.
And when you get there, it's manageable.
Sure, no question about it. But again, when you are game planning and you're looking at tendencies, you're looking at what your opponent does well, it's great to be able to play in different ways. And that was the gist of the concern of what we saw when the Ravens got to January the last couple of years, where if a team managed to take away their run, or let's not say take away, contain it, so it's not this 250-yard per game juggernaut as we've seen it look at its best, or 400 yards against the Bengals.
Well, part of that would be containing. It would be getting off the field on third down, getting them to third down, and getting them off the field. And where they are on the field, 60% of the field, they're going to go for it anyway. They're in four down territory once they get to their own 40, 45, literally.
Right. But the point is, you want to be multiple. You want to be able to win in different ways. And this team is showing that, as much as they've shown some flaws. And I know some people will want to try to frame Sunday's performance as this big breakthrough for the running game. I think they did what they should do against a lousy run defense. You know, if they had run for 350 yards, all right, maybe I'd be singing a different tune. To me, it was more so, you better be able to run for 180 yards against these guys, because they haven't stopped anyone on the ground this year. So good. Hey, they did it. Not saying I'm not trying to discredit it, but I'm not sure that's the breakthrough, the big takeaway from this game, nearly as much as how the defense played. But the point is, It's a different opponent every week that has different strengths and different weaknesses, and you plan accordingly. And what the Ravens have been able to do, despite injuries, despite some weaknesses, despite some guys that have struggled at certain spots, despite the lineup shuffling they've had to do for on a week-to-week basis, they're figuring out ways to win. And on Sunday, they did, you know, it's one thing to need a 66-yard field goal or a forced fumble at the end of the game, or you know, or Lamar Jackson to look like whatever great quarterback you want to name in the history of the game, throwing the ball like he did on Monday night against Indianapolis. But what they were able to do on Sunday, where you go up against a team that had been playing some really good football and you just demolish them. And it's a very, Josh Bynes said it, probably their first truly complimentary performance of the season. And you could say it a little bit with Denver. You know, although the Broncos, again, not a very good football team. I think that's bearing out that way. But look what they did with the return game with Duvernay, what they did defensively, obviously. And, you know, I mean, their offense, as much as I want to make it clear. I'm not diminishing what they did. It's just, I kind of expected them to score 30 plus points. But the problem was going into the game, you didn't know if that was going to be enough. But the way they ran the ball and they were able to control the clock, and I'd be remiss as I'm saying that, for me, what was most impressive about this offense, beyond the fact they started out hot out of the gate, is they get a kick return to near midfield to start the second half. And then they proceed to have a 12 play, 52 yard, 7 minute, 21 second touchdown drive, which, I mean, that's kind of crazy, right? I mean, you get a return to your own 48 yard line and yet you still choose 7 minutes, 21 seconds off the clock. It really did speak to that 2019 formula then, where they were just completely in control of that game. And all right, could they have scored a couple more touchdowns? And, you know, this could have looked like a crazy, silly score rather than just, a rock solid blowout, you know, 34-6. Could they have scored 50 points? Maybe. But they didn't need to. Why? Because they knew their defense was completely shutting down the opposition. And this was a case of protect the football. Now, I'm guessing John Harbaugh and Greg Roman and the offensive coaching staff will probably say, we need to protect the football a little bit better. You know, two picks, you know, Josh Oliver with a fumble. They were very fortunate there. You know, in that kind of game, that was kind of the one thing that the Chargers needed to have a prayer to get back into the football game. And the Ravens, I wouldn't say they really gave them an opening because the Chargers never challenged, but that was the way they were going to be able to try to get back in the game. That and going for those fourth downs. I mean, they had to, because they knew they didn't have a shot because they couldn't stop the run and they were already down multiple scores. I mean, really, it came down with Brandon Staley. And I know people will poke fun at going for it on fourth and one from your own territory and everything, but they didn't get them. But what did it really matter? How did it really matter? If they punt in those situations, all right, maybe they would have lost 28-6. What's the difference? I mean, they were trying to do what they needed to do to get back in the game.
You love that call, right? When you're down by that much, and Archer Lett even said, nobody likes this, but you know, if you can't get a yard, you probably don't deserve to win. You're already losing by three touchdowns, right?
Right. I mean, that's what it really comes down to. And this is what drives me nuts about coaches. And we've talked about this a lot over the years. The old school mentality there to punt tells me you're not really trying to maximize your chance of win nearly as much as you're trying to manage the score that it doesn't look too embarrassing, right? I mean, the Ravens could have scored touchdowns on both of those instead of field goals, and the score looks even uglier. But when you're behind the eight ball and you're facing this team with the way they're playing offensively and the way they were playing defensively on Sunday, you got to do a couple things to take some chances. And you know that if you don't get it, it's going to look ugly. In a way, it's no different than that third base coach in baseball with two outs. It might not be the best send in a vacuum, but if you're down and you're desperate for a run, you might need to gamble and hope that they botch the relay throw. I mean, that's really where it lies.
Make something
at that
happen,
point.
Right? Literally.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, it's not as though that you could talk about a fourth and one and deep in your own territory is not a high percentage play. Well, here's the thing. You're down that much at that point already. You're already talking about a low percentage. So you got to do something to try to change up the math. I mean, that's what it really comes down to. Now, the execution was bad, and that has to factor in. And if you're not getting those fourth downs, which, by the way, the Chargers had really been doing a really impressive job on fourth down with all these calls leading up to this week. But know, their luck kind of flipped a little bit in that way. And not even luck, because I compliment the Ravens and the defense they played on fourth down. But, you know, it's easy to mock that. And yeah, it's unconventional. But when you're down 2-3 scores, we talked about this 2 years ago. If you don't start fast against this Ravens offense when it's playing well, against this Ravens team when it's playing well, you're in for a long day. And that's where the Chargers found themselves. I mean, you're down 14-0 to start the second quarter. At that point, boy, you were really playing uphill. And the Ravens made sure that they didn't do anything to really get themselves back in the football game whatsoever. When they came out and had that 7.5-minute drive to start the second half, I mean, it was all she wrote at that point in time.
What kind of gives you hope for, like, when, you know, guys are starting to come back now, right?
Yeah.
Bateman's coming back. Well, what do we have on the injury front? Give me a little bit of a look at this, because we're this close to the bye, right? You know, we're 3 hours of football away from taking a little time off, getting the second half there. As far as historic perspective, and you painted that, 5-1 is rarefied air around here.
It really is. I mean, they did it last year, but the two previous times, the two other only times they've started 5-1, 2000 and 2012. I don't need to tell you what happened those years. So, hey, I mean, that's good. It doesn't mean it's going to happen again necessarily, but that's the kind of territory that they find themselves. But, you know, on the injury front, and I joked about this at BaltimorePositive.com over the weekend. You won't appreciate this because you're not a Marvel superhero movie guy. I said it's not quite as dramatic as the portal scene at the end of Avengers Endgame, where everyone comes back in the final battle, but Rashad Bateman is back.
Yeah, I think of that as the Orioles closing ceremony where everybody comes back at the end.
Yeah, there you go. That'll work. But, you know, they got Miles Boykin back last week, and I know that's not a big one, although I don't know if anyone saw some of his blocking on Sunday. That's part of what they do with the running game, too.
Le'Veon Bell out there throwing himself around the blocking game. Yeah.
But Miles Boykin comes back. This week you get Rashad Bateman and Tyree Phillips back. You know, that they're slowly but surely getting there with some of these guys. I mean, Ronnie Stanley, we'll see. You know, I don't expect to see him before, I don't expect to see him necessarily this week. I think that's going to be more post by. John Harbaugh said on Friday, Nick Boyle is getting closer. Derek Wolfe will be back probably after the bye week, the way it sounds. So they're getting there.
At least Boseman, Chris West, you know, that was scary for a couple minutes with him, right?
Yeah. I mean, you have to keep an eye on that. I mean, it's a back issue. I don't need to tell you that right now. I mean, that's something you gotta, you know, certainly keep an eye on and monitor. So, Patrick Queen had the thigh issue, although he did return, and, you know, we'll see about Latavius Murray, who had a ankle issue on Sunday, but
yeah, herniated in terms disc of their sounds like a word until you have one.
Yeah. Yeah. No question about it, but they have some guys that are moving their way closer to a return. You know, for me, the big one is going to continue to be Ronnie Stanley. You know, we know a few weeks back that he had sought some second and third opinions on his ankle and decided to hold off on any surgery. But is the rehab going to work? Is he going to be close to Ronnie Stanley? If he's anywhere close to he was pre-injury, and say, you know, not saying in October, but let's say
December.
By December, by January. Wow. I mean, you're talking about, again, how high is the ceiling for this football team? What are they doing to make you think they can win a Super Bowl? Boy, you add a healthy Ronnie Stanley into the mix, that changes things. And for an offense, it's already really, really good. So, you know, Derek Wolfe, we talked about this a little bit. Didn't show up Sunday, but there have been times they've missed him on their defensive line this year. So you get him back. We know Nick Boyle with talking so much about the running game and some of the issues they've had there that maybe they didn't have the last couple of years. Nick Boyle's so important for their run blocking. So that is what's exciting with everything they've gone through, all the challenges with the injuries, and, you know, you lose week one and you've had some struggles in some areas that you weren't necessarily anticipating, but you've still found a way to win these games. You do have a nice little cavalry that potentially could be coming here over the next 2-3-4 weeks of some Pro Bowl caliber players, you know, some guys that are high quality players, and
didn't have trade for Zach Ertz.
Yeah. I mean, you keep your fingers crossed, because you know, you're only another injury or two away at the wrong spot from being in that crisis feeling again.
Well, we always know that DeCosta has a fifth or sixth round pick he can send off somewhere to get something, right?
Yeah. But I think what's and I'll have everyone keep this in mind as we are getting closer to the trade deadline. I mean, the Ravens are very much up against the cap, and they've done a lot of restructuring to kind of I mean, people have asked me, Luke, why are the Ravens not carrying a full 53-man roster? Now, I mean, they haven't been doing that for weeks now. You know why? It's saving a little bit of cap space here and there by not having a full 53 guys. And you're able to do that. Why? Because you have the practice squad elevations, you know, that have continued, that started last year. So,
well, see, also, it's not Justin Houston playing cheap and you had some other guys that just want to be here.
Oh, no question about it. And I mean, certainly when you get some production, like you got from Josh Bynes, who was cut by the Panthers at the end of the preseason and he was signed to the practice squad. I mean, that's great. But you know, they are really up against it. So not saying they won't make a trade or that they can't, but it's not quite as simple as just making a trade for Marcus Peters.
It'd be surprising given what you know about the cap situation.
Yeah. I mean, I think if they could make a move, it's going to have to be for someone who's very affordable. I mean, I know we've talked about it. I mean,
well, LJ Fort was affordable. So was Josh, you know, 2 years ago.
Well, I mean, they were free.
They were free agents, those kind of guys, right?
Sure. No question. But, you know, I mean, the name that some people have thrown out there, because I know what he recently requested a trade, Marlon Mack, the Indianapolis running back. He's cheap. You know, he's not making much money this year. Would he be a guy that potentially could be an upgrade for your running back position? I think he could. Now, is there a deal that makes sense? You know, I mean, I don't think Indianapolis is just going to give him away necessarily either. But, you know, I think you're going to be looking on the low to modest end in terms of deals. I'd be surprised because I just don't know how you make the money work. I mean, they're really up against it and there just aren't a whole lot of deals left that they can do some restructuring with. That's not going to make those deals look very unappealing next year, year after that.
It's another wrinkle that we didn't have before the last 3-4 years where there were no trades. So at least knowing DaCosta's, you know, wouldn't shock me to see him do something. It might feel small, but they're always looking to do small things. Always.
No question. But it's also a reminder of where they are and where they're going to be going the next couple of years. I mean, let's face it. Let's go look back at Sunday. I mean, Bradley Bozeman, free agent. Deshaun Elliott, free agent. Anthony Averett, who bounced back and had a nice performance.
These guys just got here, man.
But I'm just saying, like, I mean, this is gonna be the reality when they have a quarterback that, and we haven't talked about this much, and I don't want to get too much into it, but just making the point here, Lamar Jackson's played so well this year that, okay, maybe it's not going to be Joe Flacco with winning the Super Bowl, but he's played so extraordinarily well, even without considering that possibility, that it's going to be very close to blank check scenario where, I mean, what are you going to do? You're going to pay him. He's done everything you've asked for in terms of improvements he's made and the passing game getting better. I mean, he's done nothing but increase his value, and his value was really high before the season started. So that's something to keep in mind as far as that juxtaposition of that with some of these other guys
up on Steve's desk, like Joe did.
Hey, if he wins a Super Bowl, you know, I'll help him put his feet up. You know, I mean, that's where he is at this point. So, but it's just a reminder as we get to the trade deadline and we understand where the cap is. You know, that's not going to get much easier. Now, some veterans will move on. You know, who knows what happens with Calais Campbell after the year, Brandon Williams. I mean, older guys that you're probably going to say goodbye to. And, you know, Calais Campbell's talked about retirement even, but. You know, there'll be some remaking in that way, but this is when you have a roster as good as this roster is, even with their injuries, think about what they've done, all the guys they've lost and how good they still are. I mean, they're 5-1, looking as good as anyone in the league right now. But it's a reminder that, you know, the checkbook comes out for all these guys at some point, or you have to bid farewell, and that's why you have to draft well. So, you know, that's a conversation for another time in a big picture sense, but they've got a lot of guys who've stepped up and are playing well where they've really needed them to because of the injuries and losses they've sustained personnel-wise.
Luke will be in Owings Mills all week long. You can find him at Baltimore Luke anywhere. Social media travel, certainly out of the front of Baltimore Positive all week long as the Ravens prepare for the Cincinnati Bengals. I'm preparing my back and getting it better. Hopefully, we're going to be doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour this week, finally at Nick's Grandstand Grill, always brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. Let yourself play. I am Nestor on behalf of all of our sponsors and friends here. We're going to hold it together here, get ourselves through the bye week, through the end of the month. Lots of great stuff with Don Moeller and I out in the repository in the audio vault of podcasts at WNST and Baltimore Positive. I'm Nestor. He's Luke. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. And we never stop talking. 5-1 Ravens in first place and Baltimore Positive.